welcome again from Maui. This is Daryl and Tracy, and again, we're coming to you from Maui, and this is episode 2 of Astrology, Prophecy, and World Events. We did our first show on July 5th. Today's date is July 27th, 2006, and we wanted to update you a little bit on Earth changes and things like that. We promised you before in episode number 1, and about 2 o'clock in the morning on July 28th, we're supposed to get the remnants of Hurricane Daniel coming through the islands. So right now, as you hear us, it's very humid right now, and there's a lot of humidity in the air. Tracy has always been able to smell kind of when a storm comes up, and so she was just asking me if I had smelled anything, and I hadn't, but she can smell when it's about the lightning or any major thing like that. But anyway,
I can feel a pressure.
Yeah, she can feel a pressure.
I can feel pressure. My skin's more sensitive.
Yeah. Anyway, this episode 2, we're gonna try to do a couple things. We're gonna try to first lighten it up a little bit. I kind of felt that last episode was a little bit heavy, and I wanted to make sure that we kind of brought a little bit more of our personality out into this podcast. But again, this is Daryl and Tracy coming to you from Maui, the west side of Maui, here in Lahaina, Hawaii. And again, if you want to get in contact with us for any reason or email us, you can email us at hawaiiradio.podomatic.com for either Tracy or myself. Let's go ahead and just, again, if you haven't heard the first podcast, we'll tell you a little bit about what we're all about and what we're trying to do. We're trying to give out information for not limited to, but for all different type of aspects of spirituality, including astrology, metaphysical ideas, prophecy, history, unconventional thinking, the move towards our one world government, the new world order, earth changes, and possibly weather manipulation. So again, if you have anything to email us on those topics, please feel free to go ahead and do that. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening in our world right now. And the reason why we're trying to do podcasts maybe just once a month or maybe once every 3 or 4 weeks is because we want to make sure that when we bring information to you, that it's not just here for us hearing ourselves speak. We want to bring information to you that'll help the audience to think and to help them maybe say, yes, I agree with that, or maybe I don't. One of the topics that I thought of recently is that it seems to me time seems to be speeding up. It just seems like the older I get, that you wake up, it's noon. Sometimes I wake up at noon, but that's beyond the point. Well, anyway, if you wake up, whenever you wake up, it seems to be like the day is basically half finished before you've even had a chance to drink your coffee or whatever. And it seems like the day seems to be a blur. And, you know, I think that's more than just time in itself speeding up. It seems like that the planet or the vibration of the planet seems to be speeding up. Have you kind of felt that, Tracy? Have you felt that in your life?
Absolutely. You know, it's not just a matter of that we're in our 40s, and, you know, a lot of people say we're at our halfway point, so time is speeding up. You know, when you're younger, you've got all this time ahead of you, and you can't wait to hurry up and grow up. But I do think time is speeding up. We cram so much in our day, and it's like we don't have enough time to accomplish everything that we want to. I think when you say that our planet's heating up, I also agree with that, too. I think our planet's energies, which are tied to each one of us individually, It's heating up because we have so much animosity going on in the world. We have...
The planet is a living
absolutely
environment.
Everything that we do, everything that we feel is attached to everything. And with the problems that we have going on in the Middle East, it's just firing everything up globally. I mean, we have problems in Africa, we have problems in the Middle East, we have global hunger, we have so many problems in the world, and it's just getting worse. It's absolutely getting worse, and we are reacting out of fear and anger more than love and compassion, and that's just making everything hotter, spinning us faster.
Does it seem like, this is kind of a carryover from the last show, but does it seem like that it's almost, I would say, life is seeming to be making people either choose a path of fear or love. It's yes, we do have the free will, like we talked about last episode, but it seems that now there almost doesn't seem to be a middle ground. You have to take the path of love or fear, and it just seems like that now. As the planet is kind of, I would say, going, as we talked about in the previous episode, we're going from one age, from the age of Pisces into Aquarius, that the planet is changing, and it's kind of almost saying, you know, we have to make a choice here. What are you as an individual people? What are you as human beings going to do? Are you going to choose fear or are you going to choose love? You know, it's like put up or shut up. What are you going to do?
Well, you know, we're bombarded every single day. The radio, mass media, conversations, yada, yada. We are bombarded by what's going on in the world, whether it's true or not. We got crap from our media, and you know what? You don't have a choice. You're almost made to feel the fear. Like you don't have a moment's rest. How often do we hear about something good going on that's for humanity, that's been great for your community? It's always, our newspapers are just jam-packed full of negative, negative, negative. That's why people are choosing only one or the other. There is no middle ground because we're not allowed to have a middle ground.
And it seems like it's almost the quick fix. It's almost, you know, in Hawaii they call it ice. Ice is the same thing as methamphetamines on the mainland. But it almost seems like when you turn on the television, I can just think of a few, but a program like Hardball with Chris Matthews, it's definitely a program, a political program, but it always seems to have a little bit of a fear base to it. It's something that it's very easy to get addicted to. You know, there's a certain amount of information in the program, but it also has that fear-based mentality, kind of like, what's going to happen with Iran next? What's going to happen with Iraq next? You know, is George Bush going to be impeached? Is the everything is kind of an exciting type of a fear. And, you know,
adrenaline junkie.
Exactly, adrenaline junkie. And you know, the thing is that if we would just get up off our butts and go to our next door neighbors, and instead of worrying about whether we're going to invade Iran, whether we're going to, you know, continue the war in Iraq, go to your neighbor and say, hey, how's it going today? You know, in Hawaii we have a saying, it's how's it, you know, it's short for how's it going. And here in Hawaii, you know, the one thing I can tell you is that one of the reasons why Tracy and I moved here is because there is such a soft spirit to the people. You know, Hawaii is kind of a melting pot for many different cultures. And if you wave at somebody, 9 times out of 10, they're going to wave back. You know, if you're on the mainland, or if you're, you know, maybe in a big city, you may get the one finger wave, you know. So it's just a lot different culture here. But even with that said, you know, we really all do need to make sure and try to go to that love path, because, you know, yes, the fear-based path can be addicting, and it can be, you know, for the moment, it can be thrilling, but it really doesn't do anything. All it does is make you think about, you know, the excitement of that specific you know, that specific thing. You know,
who makes it thrilling? Okay, our media, and who talks to the media? You know, our government or other world governments. You know, I think we become thrill junkies, you know, scare junkies. We are trying to fill something in us that we're not getting met. You know, we're doing the extreme of what our personalities really aren't. And when you become the extreme, you start acting them out. And it just causes so many problems community-wise, family-wise, global-wise. And I think that's a very scary thing to think about. Our communities are being affected by what's happening in Iraq. Our communities are being affected, our children are being affected, and we're growing up in a very violent society. That's scary, Daryl.
Yeah, it is scary. And, you know, the violence, I think, is almost, I would say, a lack of love, a lack of God, you know, whatever term you want to put onto it. I think, you know, it just seems to always come down to how do you show that love in your life towards another person, whether it be your child, whether it be the neighbor next door, you know. And it's so easy to carry the hurts and the grudges that we have from our work, from our childhood, you know, to that next person. And, you know, the bottom line is that when we do that, it seems like not only does our Creator not give us any help in getting to that next level, but it's like there are, you know, rocks and everything put in our path, or let be put in our path, so that we would trip, so that we would stumble, that we'd have to check ourselves at the door. And you know, it can happen in such little things, just at the checkout stand, at you know, standing in line at the grocery. You know, it's so easy to not look at anybody. It's so easy not to just ignore everybody. But you know, how many times have you been in a checkout stand and someone's upset for whatever reason? You know, the people have to get a roll of quarters or whatever it is, and instead of, you know, making light of the situation, you know, the people get mad, and instead of, you know, just sitting there and being quiet, you know, maybe say, hey, you know, it'll be just a second, it's not any big deal or whatever, and and even make a joke. And, you know, yes, of course, that you always take a chance and somebody's going to, you know, snap at you, but at the same time, you know, if you do that and you help someone to just calm down just a little bit, you know, that's going to help them for not only that next 10 minutes, it's going to help them for that whole day.
I think that's that whole issue of time. Time is such a precious commodity in our society. I don't know about other nations, but for the United States, we are so pressed for time that I think that's what makes us so angry. There's just not enough of it. We kind of almost feel like we're being robbed of it. We don't get enough sleep. We don't get enough play. There's not enough time to do our work. There's not enough. And when we're in line, and instead of being able to smile and say, hello, how are you, it just takes up too much of our time. We feel like we're being robbed of something. And I think we've lost our way as a people, as a human being. Instead of connecting with each other, we're too busy connecting on a violent stage.
Exactly. Well, you know, we've ranted a little bit here in our opening few minutes, and it's kind of funny because when we listen to the Cosmic Weather, the episode, I think it's episode 41, we kind of look at their weekend review or preview to see a little bit about what days are going to be inspiring to the people in the week. And Thursday, this show is being taped on Thursday night, the 27th. They said that there was going to be a lot of free flow of energy, a lot of free flow of ideas, and it seems to be definitely true.
Being brought in by the hurricane.
Yeah, there you go. Well, hey, let's go on to a little lighter subject and like that. Another thing that I've been very interested in is the Mayan calendar. The ancient Mexican calendar that is going to end there. Well, let me put it this way. The calendar stops. It's not so much that it's going to end. It's just that nothing was written after the date of December 21st, 2012. And a lot of people have speculated that this could be the end of the age, that this could be the end of Pisces as we know it, or whatever. What kind of thoughts do you have on that, Tracy?
Well, you know, a lot of people got freaked out in 1999, worried about our world when it
Y2K.
Was going to be the year 2000.
Yeah, we all had to run for the hills, didn't
we? Oh, that's right. And you have to understand, the mindset of peoples of a different age are one thing, and this is our mindset, this is our age. And I think our intentions, our wills, really have an effect on events. I really do. And I don't know so much about this Mayan calendar for the 2012 ending date. A lot of psychics say they can't see past 100 years. Maybe we're not meant to see past a certain time. Can you imagine being able to see so far into the future? How could our minds grasp what we couldn't understand? Concept that we don't have any clue about right now. We would go insane. So, you know what? I really don't have a thought about that, because for them, it just, you know, maybe they thought they would still be around by 2012. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. I'm not going to really get into a big deal about that.
Yeah. You know, I do think that this is 2006 right now. I think between 2006 now and 2012, there's going to be a lot of changes, a lot of Earth changes. You know, at this point in time, I feel really almost, I don't know if sorry is the word, I feel very frustrated for the next president of the United States. I thought about this tonight. I in a weird way, I almost feel that President Bush will be probably, in a lot of ways, our last true president as far as what America has looked at or looked like to other countries. I think the next president, unfortunately, is going to have a lot of problems. You know, it's like that old saying, you know, what you reap, what you sow, you're going to reap. You know, the United States is not necessarily any more, whatever you want to call it, evil or whatever, than any other country. But I do think that you know, a lot of people say that the United States is the equivalent of today's Babylon for the ancient history. And in a lot of ways, that's true. You know, there are so many aspects of the United States right now that do parallel ancient Babylon as far as the selfishness of the people, as far as just so many things.
Well, you mean consumerism? Why? Who needs to have that car? Who needs to have that new color TV? But I don't think it's just the United States, Daryl. I also think Europe is in a big bind by that, too.
Sure.
And I think other countries are now starting to grasp on that greedy commercialism, greedy materialism type thing, too. I think that's the problem.
Right. And unfortunately, the United States, for culture, for pop culture, whatever, you know, for the last, well, pretty much since World War II, has pretty much, I wouldn't say led the world in everything, but led the world in a lot of things as far as pop culture and things like that. And some of it's been good, some of it hasn't been good. But unfortunately, I think within about the next six years, it's really going to be changing quite a bit. In that sense, I think that it's the just desserts that other countries are going to be looking at themselves, and they're going to be saying, hey, wait a second, you know, why do we have to take second fiddle all the time? You know, we've got resources. You know, there was just a statement from Vladimir Putin yesterday or a few days ago, basically was saying that, you know, we're not going to be bought off by the United States anymore. We're not going to change our policies because they want to invest in our country. You know, I think that's a...
Who is they?
The United States. The United States and the West, but mostly the United States. And, you know, if you kind of look at it, you know, from a United States Western aspect, you think, well, you know, that's kind of elitist or whatever. That's kind of a, you know, real attitude type thing. But you got to remember that, you know, the former Soviet Union for the last 16 years has gone through so many changes that, again, the American media never ever tells the United States about. It's absolutely amazing how sheltered the United States is because of the American media. But anyway,
well, our media is quite a bit different. You'd almost have to get the full scope of what's going on in the world by watching the BBC.
Oh, yeah.
Or trying to get some other satellite TV to get a different view of what's going on anywhere.
But the thing is that countries are coming up with this idea now that, you know, why should the United States or why should Western Europe have all of this pull? Why should they be the one to decide whether we're in the World Trade Organization or not? You know, because the United States was the we've got cats out there. If you hear a cat howling, you'll know that we're in Hawaii and cats run wild. Cats don't starve in Hawaii, by the way, because there's beautiful weather, obviously. Anyway, the thing is that countries now are thinking to themselves, why do we have to take second fiddle? Why is it that we have to always be kowtowed to what the United States has to do and has to say?
I think it's because it's commercialism. People want what we have, and they get so wrapped up in the materialism. But you know what? That's not going to go so very far.
I think
people need to change more in the spiritualism.
Right, exactly. And that's what, again, what some of these dictators, despots, are saying to their people is they're saying, well, not only do we need to have our own destiny, but we don't want to have the United States or Western Europe tell us what the next trend is going to be. We don't want them to tell us anything about that. We want to be able to start our own trends. And the thing is like with Vladimir Putin, he is so popular in Russia right now. It's absolutely amazing. They look at him as like they used to look at the early czars. Just, you know, a person that really represents Mother Russia, and they're just absolutely in love with him. But anyway, let's also go to a little bit more of a deeper subject now and ask a few questions. Okay, one of the questions that I thought about, and this will really get your brain thinking, hopefully, is that do heaven and hell need each other? Yes, that's a deep subject. Now, before you send the nasty grams to our email, you know, just think about the concept. If we didn't have a negative or a dark side to accentuate the positive, how would we know that there is a positive? You know, it's kind of like when we were talking about being an automaton last episode. Do we have the ability to distinguish between good and evil if there is no evil, if there is no, quote, hell? Can you enjoy heaven or life, for that matter, without knowing the darker side of the coin? You know, that's a big question. You know,
I think we were created for this earth to have to experience both sides because we are not perfect beings. So we can't enjoy a perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you can, how can you enjoy every single day without understanding what it's like to cry, to be sad, to feel sorrow, to feel anger or hate or fear? I mean, really, when you have bad times and then you go through good times, you really think about those bad times and how you're able to pull yourself up. You may come together as a family, as a community, as a single person, being able to figure out what you're truly made of.
Yeah.
And besides, what is evil or negativity? It's simply the absence of God.
Was it created? That's a question. Was it created or was it let happen? That's a big debate in spiritual or scholarly circles, is that was evil either created or was it let to stay? What would you think? What would you say on that?
Well, let's look at our universe. We have matter and we have antimatter. We have dark matter and we have our sun in our solar system that provides matter. So I think God created everything in the universe and supports everything as it should be. I think, yes, I think it was created as well. I think it serves a purpose. Mm-hmm. I think it's called balance.
Well, that also goes to another question. You know, if it was created, if it was let to be created, then, you know, how could that be with a God that is all loving, that is all powerful, that is all good? How could evil or how could a hell be created or let be created by a loving God? What would you say to that?
I would say because we are not perfect. We are allowed to grow, to spiritually grow, to physically grow. We can't grow without learning these things. You know, we're not perfect. And we're learning to grow spiritually. You know what I'm saying? It's just we're not perfect.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we talked about this a little bit on the first show. But the aspect or the idea of dual dimensions, this is another idea in scientific circles that, you know, believe it or not, is really kind of getting a foothold. I think I might have mentioned it in the previous show about the episode, the very popular episode of Star Trek, where the evil Captain Kirk was dueling the good Captain Kirk. They basically got caught in a one-dimensional world. And, you know, Gene Roddenberry was really an absolute genius with the things that he came up with in the 60s that are so timeless. You look back to the Twilight Zone and Gene Roddenberry and you see a lot of the things that they did, and sometimes you just cannot believe how genius they were. But wouldn't that be amazing to have us have the good and the evil be in one dimension? And in a weird way, I think that's what we do deal with every day during the time between the time we get up and the time we go to bed.
Well, of course, because it's the flip side of our personalities. Nobody's just good and nobody's just evil. We're mostly dark gray matter in between. You know, a split second before we choose a thought, we hold it and then we have the thought, whether we realize it or not. And those intentions are so powerful. They create energy and they create our reality. Our reality is what we make it.
No, absolutely. That's absolutely true. You know, I would say that, like you said, we really cannot function without those dual dimensions. It's impossible. Well, okay, let's go on to a different subject. Let's go on to an even maybe deeper subject, believe it or not, than what we've been talking about. The soul. Oh my goodness. You know, so many scientists used to think, and I don't think that there's too many that think this anymore, that, you know, we really didn't have a soul. You know, we had energy that was passed through generation to generation, and the energy that we have is nothing more than DNA. But now, even scientists are, I think, changing their opinion. You know, studies have been done that say that when a person dies at the moment of death, that they lose up to 1 to 2 ounces of weight at the moment of death. And you think to yourself, well, how could a person lose weight when they die? You know, what is leaving the body that is going to be weighing 1 or 2 ounces? Well, who knows? That could be what they call the soul.
The soul's energy.
The soul's energy, yes. And so, you know, another big debate in spiritual and religious circles is, do souls reincarnate? You know, again, I want to go back to our first show, because the one thing that I disagree with a lot of the religious dogma of today is that, you know, some people think, well, if you even talk about a soul reincarnating, that's evil. Evil, even just to talk about it, or to say that a soul reincarnates is evil to even think about. That, you know, we're all made by God just, you know, one soul to one person and this and that.
One life, one shot, right?
Yeah, one shot, one life.
That's pretty arrogant.
Well, you know, the thing is...
to think you can get it all right the first time around.
Well, you know, the thing is that what kind of has always bothered me about that is that it may be true. Maybe we only do have one soul. Who knows? But the thing is...
It's not one soul, it's one life.
Right, exactly. One life. Maybe we only have one life for that soul, but... The thing is that we shouldn't be conditioned to be fearful of having a different opinion or of even thinking outside the box. And unfortunately, I think that's what a lot of religious dogmas these days do, is they try to put that fear into a person and say, don't even think about it. Don't even think about if a soul reincarnates. That's evil. That's bad. And that's why I think that you know, Tracy and I have tried to go down the path to say, well, let's not be fearful. That, you know, that should be our subtext to our world events prophecy show, is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
I believe the soul is eternal.
Exactly.
And it cannot die. And I think you couldn't possibly get what you need to get right in one lifetime. I just don't think it's possible. We're an imperfect being. Only the true Creator is.
Right. And you know, again, I think that we're assigned. This is my personal opinion. And maybe in future shows I might tell a little bit more about why I feel that. But I do think that in the spirit world, we're assigned by our Creator, or representatives of our Creator, to come to Earth to be able to have an assignment, have a main assignment, I would say, and then have an assignment to do, of course, more than just one thing, but is usually approached to us to have one specific thing to be done. And, you know, you might call it deja vu, or maybe dreaming about different things, but... You know, that's what I would express to everyone, to listen to their dreams. Don't out of, you know, out of sight.
Reject them.
Yeah, just reject them, and to say, well, you know, that was just kind of a funky dream. That was just kind of a crazy dream. Let's not even think about that. Because sometimes I think that, you know, our spirit guides, our angels, help us to learn about those things. And again, it's the energy. If we're fearful or if we're angry, you know, I do believe that there are going to be negative energies that can come through you to feed upon that energy. So you do have to be careful, but at the same time, you know, when you get a dream, don't necessarily just reject it out of hand.
I think it's good to record your dreams if you can, if you have a dream journal, because I think that can show patterns in your life. Maybe you have a problem coming through. But sometimes it could be something about your past, something about another life that's trying to come through that can help you in this lifetime too.
Exactly. You know, and again, I think that if you truly do, pray and go to your Creator and ask about the problems that you're having, whether it be with relationships, with family members, friends, co-workers, or whatever, if you truly come before your Creator with a humble heart and you ask for that, you're going to get that answer. So, do you have anything to add before we go on? Okay. Well, what we're going to do now is we will lighten it up a little bit, and we're going to go to the subject of ghosts. Even though this is in October, which is Tracy's favorite holiday is Halloween, and we have an absolutely fantastic Halloween / Mardi Gras celebration here in Lahaina every year. We're going to go ahead and talk a little bit about ghosts or apparitions.
What are they?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know,
are they the soul's imprint, or are they actually souls that are tied to the earth?
Are they
or
demons?
A person?
Oh my goodness. Some people think they're demons, you know, that maybe some in the Catholic Church think that ghosts are demons, that they're all evil entities to be dreaded, you know, and like that. Some people think that ghosts are energies from dead family members or from dead people that have not found the, quote, the white light or anything like that.
Some people think that they're just a imprint of an episode or something that have happened that repeat over and over and over because it's an energy signal.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're spirits that do not want to go to the light or have gotten lost and cannot find the white light. You know, there's a couple things that I wanted to add to that. I can attest that, especially here in Hawaii, as we said the last episode, spirit presence here is very, very, very high, I would say. I've never, up until I moved here, really felt the supernatural, but already we've been here, Tracy and I have been here about a year and a half, and I felt it twice, and Tracy and I together have felt the supernatural touch us once. Briefly, the two times, the first time, was that I was having an extremely bad day at my work with my boss. And I was extremely upset because of something that had happened. And I was just really lathering up to the point where I was just ready to burst. And I work at a facility that I drive around in a vehicle all day long, basically. And at one point during the night, I worked the night shift, of course. And what happened is that the volume on the radio started getting louder and louder and louder, and this was when I was at, I would say, the apex of my anger. And obviously I wasn't turning the volume up, but I had heard through coworkers and things like that of the spirits that dwell in the islands, spirits like the Minihuni, which are the small little people that they call spirits. And the different relatives of King Kamehameha and things like that dwell throughout the islands. Well, anyway, the volume kept getting louder and louder and louder on the radio station. And, you know, because I'd heard these stories, I was curious and I thought, well, I'm just going to let this get as loud as it can. And amazingly, it got so loud that I ended up having to almost punch the radio dial to shut the radio off, because the energy was making the volume go so loud it was just about to break my ears. And that was my first real true brush with the supernatural.
Oh, I've always had supernatural events have happened to me in the past. My
well,
most
pray tell.
One of the biggest events in my life was late 1980s, when you were in the military, and we were stationed at Geiger Heights, Fairchild Air Force Base. And you were off at work. It was late at night, and my mom had been living with us, and our children were about 4 and 5 years old, and we'd put them down for the evening, and my mom and I had retired to bed. And we were just so really tired. And you came home late, and you came to bed, and you went right to sleep. It was not like you, because you're usually a tosser turner, but you went right to sleep. And I was reading a book, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden I hear little feet and giggles running up and down the hall. And I remember just shouting out loud, "Rachel, Corey, get back into bed." And it would still happen, and finally I'd have to crawl out of bed, I'd open the door, and it would just stop. It would just stop. And unknowing to me or Daryl, my mother was going through the same thing. She was hearing exactly the same thing. And this went on for months. Finally, it was mid-November, it got so bad, it was so loud. And then all of a sudden, I heard children screeching and laughing and jumping up and down, and I'm freaking out, and I get up, and as soon as I open the door, it literally stops in mid-screech. And my mom opens the door at the same time, and we're both just looking at each other wide-eyed. And I go out into the hall, and the hall floors are ice cold. And I look in the bedroom, the children's room, and they are out like a light. They are dead asleep. And it progresses from there. The very next night, I'm sitting in the living room. It's about 7 o'clock with my mom and the kids. And we're watching, I don't know, some evening show, and all of a sudden I've got this overwhelming urge to go to sleep, and I felt really weepy, so I go to bed, and my mom said she put him to bed, and I'm not in bed for very long when suddenly I can't move. I'm frozen. I can't move, and I'm looking up, and in the corner of the room is a huge blue ball of light, and it's just sitting there turning, and it's very luminescent, and then it starts coming towards me. I'm trying to scream. I can't move. And it gets towards my face, and then suddenly it breaks off into multiple spheres and goes out to the corner into the room, and it just disappears. Finally, I can move. I'm screaming, and my mom is trying to get through the door, telling me to open the door, and I'm trying to get to my bed because it's from my bed to my bedroom door, and I can't open it. And my brother comes home, and he's, you know, trying to get through the door. And he goes through outside and goes through my bedroom window, and he manages to break it through to help me get through. And we find out that my huge dresser drawer has been moved across the bedroom door. And it was huge. I could not have moved this by myself.
And that was another very stressful time in our lives for not only our marriage but for our personal and professional lives also. So, you know, again, I think that when you do have a lot of stress in your environment, and especially fear, negative things like that, it's going to help that negative aspect of the supernatural world to be infused. And unfortunately, you know, that can also help, or that I should say that can also affect the power that is used for world leaders. You know, we've all seen Adolf Hitler and how he had used the negative side or the negative influence of the occult. He was quite into the occult. But also, I think it can be a lot less subtle. Sometimes you almost wonder whether some of the world leaders have a conscience, whether they have the ability to even care between right and wrong, because they're so addicted to the power, they're so addicted to what they're doing and how they can get to that next high, I guess for a better word, for the addiction to power that they have. And you know, they are they're influenced for negative actions through many different things. So, you know, that's one thing that I think that people always have to realize is that when you do take on that negative energy, through whether it be through hate or fear, that you do open up the door for negative influences to come through either you or, you know, that general area that you live in. And especially if it's negative upon negative upon negative, I think that we had lived in a place where there had been a lot of negative actions over many, many years. And
well, Geiger Heights was built on Indian burial grounds.
Yeah, that's
where the military took over that area and built off-base housing.
Yeah. You know, so I think that one thing we have to ask ourselves is that you know, let's go on to another aspect, since we've kind of talked about that. We talked a little bit about this the last show, but we want to also bring this up. Let's kind of give our opinions and some interpretations of the end of the world. And again, what is the new age of Aquarius going to teach us? Like, I think we stated this in the last show, but over the last 40 to 50 years, the amount of knowledge that has happened for everything from computers to the jet industry to smart bombs, whatever you want to call it, has been just exponentially exploding. And this is a huge sign for the age of Aquarius. The age of Aquarius is signified by knowledge, by the explosion of information, and how we can solve our problems through new knowledge of information.
Sometimes I think new knowledge and information just makes us lose some of our humanity. We rely so much on technology, we don't rely on each other. I think we lose that touch. And I think that's why our world is heating up. I think that's why we have so many world conflicts. We don't respect each other's religious views. We don't respect each other's racial or cultural integrity. And I think this new age can be a very short one if we don't embrace a more positive aspect and embrace a more spiritual aspect.
Well, I think that all the ages, all the 12 signs of the zodiac, like the 12 apostles, like the 12 months of the year, the 12 numbers on a clock, I think they were all given to us for a reason. They were given to us to be able to help us. And, you know, again, if we go, just like the cosmic weather people say, if we go to the extremes of our signs, it can be our detriment. And that's the one thing about whether it be the age of Pisces, whether it be the age of Aquarius, that if we rely too much on information, or if we rely too much on anything, it's not going to be good. But I think that all of the signs, all of the aspects of the zodiac are there to help us for different things that we can learn to teach each other with knowledge and with learning. So another question, too, that we need to ask is, does the world need cleaning? Does the world need to clean itself if we don't take care of it? Tracy and I were talking a little bit about this earlier in the show, is that Mother Earth is a being in itself. It's going to clean itself whether we're here or not. And a lot of scientists say that Earth has a 12,500-year cycle of polar magnetic shifts. And we're coming up on those right now. In fact, a lot of people think that we're overdue for that. Ice ages are also on a regular cycle, too. And that's another way that the Earth cleanses itself.
Well, look at the volcanic eruptions, the tsunamis, the hurricanes. We have had some of the worst weather patterns in the last few years, just detrimental weather patterns. If that isn't earth cleansing, I don't know what is. We're certainly not doing our part to take care of our earth and each other. So I think Mother Nature is definitely stepping right on in and scooping up and cleaning out. And nobody likes the idea of loss of life, home and liberty, and just the devastation and terror that it wrought across the world. But you know, when you think about it, what else are you going to do? Our planet cannot sustain the heavy negativity, the pollution, the damage that we as humans, the biggest cancer in the world, do to our world.
Well, that's true. And again, what we're trying to state here is that, you know, positive and negative energy can also be generated by the human spirit. And turned into a karma of positive or negative energy. A positive thought generated in a specific area in the body can be healing just to anything. If you're concentrating on healing a back muscle, on healing a headache, you know, there are people in the world, believe it or not, that have never had a headache. I mean, think about that. Someone that's never had a headache, that has such positive energy in their body that they've never been able to feel that pain in their cranium. You know, mass consciousness can also help to heal people that do things like that can affect things positively or negatively. You've all heard probably of when people will pray for rain, or when they'll pray for a break in the sunlight, things like that, because it's raining too much. And definitely mass consciousness like that is something that you can't just poo-poo and say, well, it doesn't really happen, because it really does happen.
That's because thought is energy. Energy is a tangible form. Of course it has relevancy.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 10 more minutes left in our podcast here, and let's kind of touch on a few different things, and then we'll call it a night. You know, the phrase in the Bible that says, "My father has many houses," that's always intrigued me. A lot of people feel that may be something towards the word purgatory. The Catholic tradition references the word purgatory to a state where you're just kind of in a holding pattern. You know, I've always looked at possibly when it says my father, when Jesus said my father has many houses, maybe again that could be something stating that there are many dimensions for many, many different planets, many different spiritual houses or physical houses. It's something to really think about.
I always thought it always meant that it had room for all religions, all thoughts and ideas, that they were all welcome, and that they were all right.
Well, that to me, that makes perfect sense, because, you know, if you could put that phrase and say, is that a reference for possibly different levels of spiritual enlightenment? Maybe some people think that. I'm not too sure about that, though. Our last thought for the night is going to be on the most popular, probably, subject now of time travel. A lot of people think that there's been time travelers from many hundreds of years in the future that have came back to visit us. I'm not too sure about that. I'm not sure if that's... Well, I'm sure it's possibly possible, but I'm not sure if anybody would really want to do that, because if you're coming back, if you're going back in time, I think it's just too easy to mess something up in your future, in your personal future, that can affect you.
Yeah, you might accidentally prevent yourself from being born, and
exactly.
Then what happens?
Exactly, exactly.
I don't know. That's a very intriguing idea. Can you send someone back to prevent some cataclysmic shift that prevents you from surviving? I don't know. You know, a bad storm. Can
right.
it prevent you from wiping your species out? But then, if you never wiped your species out, why would you send yourself back?
Well, that's true. But, you know, again, kind of like what we spoke a little bit about on the first podcast, is that I think that the free will that we have almost dictates how the dimension that we're living in is going to play itself out. I think that the dimensions that we have through our universe and throughout time and space, they are something that we can choose to go through or not. We can choose to go through that depending on what type of energy level that we want to put in that dimension. If we put a negative energy in that dimension, dimensional level, I think that negative things are going to happen. And the reverse with positive energy, things are going to happen. So I think dimensions are also almost something. Almost I would equate it to running on a treadmill. You know, you're going to be running on a treadmill, but you're also going to be having the time to get off that treadmill whenever you're wanting to get off that treadmill too.
Well, I think time is fluid. It's ever flowing and ever changing, but it's always connecting. And I've spoken about that in our last show as well. I think if it, like a figure eight, that at a certain point you're going to connect and you can see all aspect of life from either direction. I think that's how some psychics can work, when they can see the past and the future and the present and things that we can't see but they seem to be able to do. I think we have those gifts.
Well, that's a good point. I think that this is going to be a good place to wrap it up. Again, we want to thank you for listening to our podcast. This is episode 2 of our podcast, and a few things we're going to be talking about in our next episode next August, next month, is that we want to talk a little bit about the 33rd parallel. And if you've researched anything about the Earth's 33rd parallel, there's a lot of interesting things that happen on the 33rd parallel. For example, a few of the different cities that run close to the 33rd parallel are Sedona, Arizona, Dallas, Texas. Another one that runs through the 33rd parallel is Babylon or ancient or modern day Iraq. A lot of spiritualist or biblical scholars think that there possibly could be a spiritual portal right on that particular parallel of the Earth. A lot of things have been happening recently right on that area. So anyway, like I said, this is Daryl and Tracy coming to you from the island of Maui, on the west side of Maui in a city called Lahaina. And again, we want to thank you for tuning in to us. Please give us any feedback that you do have for the show at hawaiiradio.podomatic.com. Podomatic, I just have to say, is one of the best websites out there for getting information on the net, whether it be in a new age spiritual aspect, a traditional religious aspect, or just wanting to get your opinion heard. So please write us, myself or Tracy, for anything you'd like to have us discuss. And until next month, we would like to thank you for tuning in. And we'd like to bid you a pleasant good night and good morning from Maui. And we'd like to say aloha and good night and good morning.
Aloha.